Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're unpacking a topic that is quietly but completely rewriting the financial reality for independent mechanics, mogul repair units, and heavy machine shops.
Yeah, it really is a massive shift.
Right. And our mission today is to look at the massive cost savings and the return on investment that businesses are seeing simply by using conversational AI to engage with customer calls and quotes immediately.
Absolutely, immediately.
Yeah, particularly in those high-stakes situations like roadside assistance.
And to do this, we are drawing on a really fascinating stack of internal company documents.
Always love getting into those.
Oh, yeah. We have a strategic business plan specifically for deploying an AI agency in the auto sector. We're also looking at a master SaaS integration agreement, several internal brand and SEO strategy logs, and a whole collection of marketing asset files for a platform called BTS Agentic AI.
It's just a phenomenal look under the hood.
For sure.
We're going to look at the math, the technical hurdles, and honestly, the psychology of selling advanced tech to blue-collar industries. But to start, I want you, listening right now, to imagine for a second that you decide to open a high-end restaurant.
Oh.
You lease a great space, you hire a world-class chef, you source the absolute best ingredients, and the kitchen is just firing on all cylinders, turning out these absolute masterpieces.
Sounds great so far.
Right, but there's a catch. For about 40% of your operating hours, you just leave the front door completely locked.
Wow, so customers are literally standing outside hungry, knocking on the glass, and you are inside completely ignoring them.
Exactly, and when they finally walk away to eat somewhere else, you just shrug and go back to cooking.
I mean, if you did that in the hospitality world, it would be literal business suicide.
Total suicide. But when you step into the world of automotive and heavy machinery repair, that locked door isn't just a metaphor. It is the literal everyday reality of their business operations.
Yeah, it's a massive structural flaw in a multi-billion dollar industry. And before we can even begin to appreciate the AI solutions outlined in these documents, we really have to grasp the sheer scale of the problem here.
Lay it out for us.
So, based on the strategic business plan in our sources, the U.S. auto repair sector is an $89.6 billion industry.
Massive.
But it is wildly fragmented. We are talking about more than 307,000 independent businesses.
So we aren't really talking about massive centralized corporate chains for the most part.
Right, no. We are talking about local independent operators. The data shows the top 50 companies hold less than 10% of the total revenue.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, it's an industry driven by independent shops and small fleets. But here is the fatal flaw that plagues almost all of them. Independent auto repair shops fail to answer over 40% of their inbound customer calls during standard operating hours.
Over 40%.
Yeah.
I mean, if you called a vendor for your own business and almost half the time nobody picked up, you would assume they went bankrupt.
Right. You'd move on immediately.
Exactly. But we really need to contextualize why this is happening, especially when we talk about field services or mobile mechanics, heavy machinery operations. It's not out of laziness, right?
No, not at all.
Like, picture a heavy equipment technician out in the field. They are literally elbows deep in the engine block of a 10-ton diesel excavator.
Oh, yeah, covered in grease.
Covered in grease, wearing heavy gloves, holding a torque wrench, and their cell phone rings on the dashboard of their service truck.
They physically cannot answer it. I mean, it's not that they don't want the revenue. It is an operational impossibility for them.
Right.
They have to make this impossible choice between executing the mechanical repair directly in front of them or stopping everything, finding a rag, cleaning up their hands, and doing administrative intake.
So they just let it ring.
Exactly.
But what is the actual cost of that choice? Because when we are talking about roadside assistance or emergency heavy machinery repair, the stakes are totally different than someone just scheduling a routine oil change on a Tuesday.
Oh, the financial hemorrhaging is staggering.
Break down the numbers for us.
Okay, so the average repair order, what the industry calls the ARO, sits between $350 and $650.
Okay.
But in the roadside assistance space, intent is immediate. If a commercial truck driver has a blown tire or a busted axle on the side of a busy highway, they are losing money by the minute.
Every single minute.
Right. They are not going to politely leave a voicemail and wait 3 hours for a shop to call them back.
No, they hang up, they go right back to their phone, and they dial the very next mobile mechanic listed on Google.
Exactly. The first person to answer gets a $600 job.
Just for picking up the phone.
A missed call in this specific sector is a total irrecoverable loss. Across small to medium businesses in this space, the business plan calculates that this dynamic creates an average annual revenue leakage of $126,000 per shop.
$126,000?
Yeah.
Just evaporating into the ether because of a ringing phone.
It's wild.
It really is. But, you know, if you're listening to this and you use any sort of CRM in your own business, you might be wondering the same thing I am.
Which is?
Hasn't shop management software existed for decades? I mean, customer relationship managers, digital calendars. Why hasn't standard software fixed this leaky bucket?
Well, that brings us to what the documents call the administrative tax.
Yeah.
And this is crucial to understand. Legacy shop management software didn't actually solve the labor problem. It simply digitized it.
What do you mean?
Think of it this way. If you have to dig a massive ditch and someone hands you a titanium shovel instead of a wooden one, you still have to do the physical digging.
Right. It's a better tool, but it's still your back doing the work.
Exactly. Old software is essentially a highly organized digital filing cabinet. It requires manual data entry to be useful.
Meaning a service advisor still physically has to answer the phone, listen to the customer, type in the 17-digit vehicle identification number, look up the parts manually, and build the quote.
Precisely. It taxed the operator with more administrative work. What makes the technology outlined in these sources different, what they call true vertical AI, is that it completely inverts that relationship.
Okay, and just to define that term for a second, vertical AI means artificial intelligence that is trained specifically for one narrow industry, right? Like auto repair.
Yeah, right, rather than a general tool like ChatGPT that tries to do a bit of everything.
Got it.
So this vertical AI doesn't wait for a human to type data into it. It feeds itself the data directly from the customer conversation.
So if old software just gave them a digital chore instead of a physical one, and the bottleneck is human hands on a keyboard, the only way out is software that doesn't need hands at all. How does the BTS system actually execute that out in the field? Let's look at their marketing assets, because they outline a three-part system.
Yeah, they do.
First, there's a speed-to-lead form. This qualifies digital leads in under 60 seconds. Second, there's a dynamic quoting system. And third, what they call the fleet instant voice callback.
We really need to look at the mechanics of that dynamic quoting system,
mm-hmm.
because this is where the term agentic AI comes into play.
Agentic AI.
Yeah. It is not just a basic chatbot. An old chatbot uses simple if-then dialogue trees. Like, if customer says hello, then say, we will call you back.
Right. Very rigid.
Exactly. Agentic AI actually takes agency. It has tools it can use.
So how does that actually work in a live roadside scenario? Like, practically speaking.
Well, let's say a driver texts the mobile mechanic's number needing a diesel diagnostic out on the highway.
Okay.
The AI reads that text, understands the context of the emergency, and it doesn't just send a placeholder reply. It actively pings the shop's live database via an API.
Just on its own?
On its own. It checks the live hourly labor rate, pulls the standard diagnostic time for that specific diesel engine, calculates the roadside travel surcharge, and instantly formats all of that into a human-sounding text message.
In under 30 seconds.
Yes. In under 30 seconds, it is dynamically generating and transmitting a highly accurate estimate without a human ever touching a keyboard.
Wow. So you are giving the stranded driver a real actionable number before your competitor has even noticed their phone ring.
That's the magic of it.
The SEO target markets identified in these source files specifically highlight mobile mechanics and heavy equipment repair for exactly this reason.
Right.
Those are high friction, high value jobs. There is this specific text message mock-up designed for their landing page that illustrates the voice callback feature.
Oh, yeah, the Hey Mike one.
Yeah, the AI automatically texts, Hey Mike, we noticed you missed a call while on a service run. Would you like to book a mobile diagnostic for 2.00 p.m. today?
I mean, the mechanic is still elbows deep in the engine, completely unaware he even missed a call. And the AI is actively closing the next deal for him.
It's wild.
It acts as an autonomous digital service advisor.
But, okay, put yourself in the stranded driver's shoes for a second.
Okay.
I am stuck on the highway. It is pouring rain. I am stressed. And I need a very specific piece of heavy machinery fixed right now. The absolute last thing I want is to get trapped in an endless, frustrating robot menu that doesn't understand my specific problem.
Oh, for sure.
How does this system avoid infuriating the very customer it is trying to capture?
Well, that is a very valid operational fear.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the BTS architecture documents, it is exactly why they utilize a framework called Human in the Loop, or HITL.
HITL.
Right. The flow is not designed as a walled-off robot jail.
Yeah.
The architectural diagram lays it out as a continuous sequence. Initial customer interaction, leading to AI response, leading to human intervention, leading back to AI continuing.
But practically speaking, how does that handoff actually happen without dropping the call or making the customer repeat themselves, like starting all over again?
It happens seamlessly on the back end. The AI is a safety net, not a barrier. Let's say the AI is texting with a customer about a complex, like $5,000 transmission rebuild for a commercial truck.
Okay.
The AI can gather the vehicle identification number, query the parts, and build the initial quote. But before it sends that massive quote to the customer, it flags it on the shop's dashboard.
Oh, I see.
A human dispatcher or the mechanic can easily step in, review the numbers the AI gathered, adjust the labor hours if necessary, click approve, and then let the AI continue the conversation to schedule the repair bay.
Or they could just jump straight into the live text thread themselves.
Exactly. You can insert a human anywhere you want in the pipeline. The moment the AI flags a warm lead, the human can take over.
So it's speed when you need it and human oversight when the stakes get high. Okay, so we've established the mechanics of how the AI captures the lead and builds the quote. But we really need to look at the actual financial reality of this.
The ROI.
Yeah, because looking at the BTS customer one sheet, they boldly claim a 1,300% ROI.
Which is a huge claim.
Honestly, it sounds like marketing hyperbole.
It does sound extreme, but the strategic business plan actually breaks down the value-based math step by step, and the underlying logic is surprisingly grounded.
Walk us through it.
Let's walk through their exact hypothetical. They model a mid-sized repair shop. We know their average repair order is $500.
Okay.
Let's assume they miss 30 calls a month. That is $15,000 in lost revenue just walking out the door every single month.
I gotta say, 30 missed calls across 4 weeks seems very conservative for a busy shop.
It really is. Now, if the BTS AI agent engages instantly and captures just 50% of those missed calls, it doesn't even have to bat 1,000, just half.
So 15 jobs.
That is 15 recovered jobs. 15 jobs multiplied by that $500 average is $7,500 a month in recovered revenue.
Which scales to $90,000 a year in new revenue, simply by answering the phone digitally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at the break-even point on the software cost.
Let's hear it.
The documents show that capturing just 2 additional bookings a month completely covers the operational cost of this enterprise-grade platform.
Just 2.
2 jobs out of the 30 they are missing. And that is strictly the revenue side. It doesn't even calculate the secondary savings.
Like what?
Well, the AI also reclaims 15 or more hours a week of manual administrative time that staff used to spend doing intake, typing in VIN numbers, and searching parts catalogs.
Hold on, though. The math on the recovered revenue makes total sense. But the sources talk about the software being deployed by AI automation agencies, and they talk about the pricing structure. The SaaS master agreement and the internal sales strategies outline a structured deployment, reality phase one software deployment, phase two agentic integration. And they use a value-based pricing model.
Right. For an agency selling this system to a local mechanic, they typically calculate a 20% value capture rate.
And this is where I have to push back hard on the psychology of the sale.
Okay, why?
Because if the AI proves it will save that shop $90,000 a year and the agency charges 20% of that created value, that means the agency is charging an $18,000 one-time setup fee.
Yep, that's the math.
You are asking a grease-covered mechanic who is probably used to paying $50 a month for QuickBooks to write an $18,000 check for invisible code.
It's a big ask.
Even with the ROI math, that is a massive psychological hurdle. How does this agency model actually convince them to pull the trigger?
Well, it is a massive hurdle, and it requires a complete shift in how the business views software. They have to stop viewing it as an IT expense and start viewing it as a capital investment.
Like buying a new diagnostic machine.
Exactly, or a new vehicle lift. The agency's entire sales pitch anchors on that exact friction. They position it as an employee that works 24/7, never takes a sick day, and instantly pays for itself.
I see.
If a mechanic pays $18,000 once and they get $90,000 back in year one, it is a 5x return. The agency has to prove that the cost of inaction, the $126,000 leaky bucket, is far more painful than the setup fee.
Okay, assuming Mechanic buys in, we have to look at the actual integration. Because the math works, the speed works.
Yeah.
But how does this actually integrate into the messy, real-world tech stack of a heavy machine shop?
Yeah, that's the tricky part.
Because these places aren't Silicon Valley startups. Some of these shops are running inventory software from 1998. Does this AI just sit on top of their workflow, or does it actually wire into the engine?
That is the major technical bottleneck. And the source documents provide a really sharp analysis of the legacy versus cloud integration pathways.
Okay, break that down.
If a shop is using modern cloud-based systems like Techmetric, which the documents note has over 70 active developer partners, the integration is incredibly smooth.
Nice.
The AI can instantly sync calendars, check parts via open APIs, and write directly to the customer database without much friction.
But what if they aren't on the cloud? What if they have a physical server box humming in the back office?
That's where you run into massive complications. A lot of shops still use legacy server-based platforms like Mitchell 1.
Okay.
Integrating with those is highly complex engineering. You have to deal with manual configuration, complex developer API approvals, and literal data extraction from local servers.
Sounds like a nightmare.
To use an analogy, if modern cloud software is like plugging an appliance into a modern power grid, integrating with a legacy server is like trying to wire a smart home system into a 19th century steam engine. Furthermore, you run into what are called API token limits.
Wait, what does that mean in this context? An API token limit?
Think of an API token limit like a bouncer at a club. The legacy server only lets you ask it for data so many times a minute before it shuts you out to prevent the system from crashing.
Oh, I hit it.
So if an aggressive AI agent tries to check the schedule 100 times in a single second, the legacy server panics and blocks it. Managing those limits requires serious back-end architecture.
Which is exactly why BTS operates on a co-selling and co-delivery model.
Right.
I found this part of the strategy fascinating, because if you are a solo AI agency operator, trying to figure out a legacy server API token limit will just ruin your month.
Oh, absolutely.
But under the BTS ecosystem, the solo agency operator doesn't touch the code. They just focus on local sales and relationship building.
Precisely. The agency partner secures the client, and BTS handles the complex backend engineering, the server uptime, and the API throttling.
Something to think about.